Welcome again to the Write Project Podcast. This is a show about writing and modern Newfoundland author culture here on 93.5 FM or online at chmr.ca. Wherever you're listening from, we're happy to have you. Before we get started, though, on August 14th, you're all invited to the Wikipedia Editathon, NL Writers Edition, at Munn's QE2 Library in the computing classroom on the first floor. Wikipedia Editathons are events where a group of people meet up to edit and grow a specific subject on Wikipedia that has noticeable gaps in it. Our topic will be writers of Newfoundland and Labrador. The purpose is to make significant historical writers who have been overlooked more easily found and researched, while also teaching those who attend how to use the Wikipedia platform. Although we will have mainly collected research on past writers, many of whom are now deceased, we encourage you to bring any knowledge or research you have about any Newfoundland writer, living or dead. Our goals for the event are to create new Wikipedia pages for NL writers who don't currently have one, edit current pages that are lacking details, add names to the category writers from Newfoundland and Labrador to create a more complete list, and teach attendees how to use the Wikipedia platform as an editor. This event is brought to you by WANL, the Writers Alliance of Newfoundland and Labrador. If you'd like to sign up for the event or learn more, please email student@wanl.ca. Computers will be provided, and there's no need to have any prior knowledge of editing. Okay, I am here with Ellen Curtis. She is the secretary at WANL, the Writers Alliance of Newfoundland and Labrador, as well as a partner at Engine Books, the province's most prominent genre publisher. She is here today to talk about her writing and especially the From the Rock series of novels. Hello, Ellen. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing, Matt?
Not too bad. So specifically the From the Rock books, can you tell me a little bit about those? What are they?
They're a series of anthologies that we started a couple years ago. Well, we revived them a couple of years ago. In the early years of Engine Books, we had tried to put out some anthology series where we really wanted to showcase the local talent as it pertained to sci-fi, fantasy, horror, etc. So we had good response the first few years, but we hadn't really focused on it to the same extent that we are now. So about 3 years ago, for the 10th anniversary of Sci-Fi on the Rock, the convention, we decided that we were going to revive the anthology series and really put a big drive behind submissions. We had overwhelming response to that, and we had some really great authors come out who we had never heard of before. It was their first time published, and it was just a phenomenal response. We followed it up the next year with Fantasy from the Rock. The response was bigger again. Last year was Chillers from the Rock, and it just keeps growing to the point that this year we're going to be putting out two different anthologies. We're going to be putting out Dystopia from the Rock and Flights from the Rock.
So Dystopia from the Rock, what is that? Can you elaborate on what Dystopia is, what you're looking for, what kind of connection to the Rock you're looking for, to Newfoundland, stuff like that?
Essentially with the Dystopia from the Rock collection, we're looking for stories that match a dystopian theme. So generally what we're looking for are stories that might be post-apocalyptic. They have a society that is in some way, shape, or form crumbling. This can be overt, it can be really subversive. There's a wide variety of things that you can do with dystopia. We're looking for stories that fit a dystopian feel rather than all fit into one specific storytelling formula.
So would a good example be like The Handmaid's Tale? What would be a good example?
Yeah, Handmaid's Tale. If people are familiar with The 100 right now, it's really popular. Hunger Games.
Days of Future Past.
Sure, Days of Future Past. There's lots of different examples that you can pull from. I'm also a particularly big fan of dystopia that takes the approach that all utopian societies are inherently dystopian.
How's that?
So when you think of Stepford Wives, for example, it was supposed to be a community that was built to be the perfect community. But when you start peeling back the layers, you find out that it's really based on these horrific ideals and that it's stripping away people's identity and agency. So incorporating ideas like that. So say if you had a society that on the outside, it looked like it was functioning very well. And then you start peeling it back and you find out that really it's only functioning well on the backs of other people who are being repressed or who are in some way, shape, or form, they're having to make sacrifices in some way, shape, or form that other members of the society perhaps are not.
Okay. What about Flights from the Rock? Okay, so for Dystopia, you are the editor of that, correct?
Yeah. So myself and Erin Vance have been the editors on the From the Rock series. So she is my co-editor on Dystopia From the Rock.
Okay, excellent. And so how do you guys divide up? Does one of you choose the stories and the other of you do the editing? Or is it that you mix and match and you both do both?
We try and mix and match and both do both because obviously we're both bringing different skills and different opinions to the table. And we wouldn't want the collection to only represent one person's ideas.
Cool. So for Flights from the Rock, you're taking on a different editor as well, a third. Is that correct?
Yes, Lisa Daly.
Oh, excellent. So what's the story with that?
Lisa came to Engine, actually, with an idea to put out a collection that would celebrate the 100th anniversary of the first transatlantic flight from Newfoundland. So, of course, we were very excited about that. That sounded to us like a great idea. And so we're bringing her on board to kind of help us out with that. Her specialty kind of lies with the steampunk community. So we're looking forward to seeing a lot of very interesting retro-inspired ideas come forth.
Cool. So what are you looking for flights? Is it specific to a type of flying or is it just anything that flies? Like, could someone do a story where a person flies?
Sure, anything flight related, we are happy to look at. Of course, when we go into picking the stories for the anthology, we tend to pick stories that flow well together, that thematically kind of work well together, just to kind of keep from having a discord with all the stories in the collection.
When's the deadline for the Dystopia from the Rock?
Dystopia from the Rock is Halloween.
Halloween? The deadline for submissions is October 31st.
October 31st, yes.
Okay, and Flights from the Rock?
The Flights from the Rock stories are due on February 15th, 2019.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, sounds good. Sounds like something that's going to be a lot of fun. Have you already started getting submissions in for either or both?
Both.
Oh, wow.
We had submissions coming in as soon as each were announced.
Because Chillers from the Rock was huge. That went bestseller early on.
Yes, before it was actually released, it went bestseller on Amazon. And every year we've kind of been overwhelmed by the increasing response to the collections. So you'd asked a little bit earlier about the connection that we hope to see to The Rock. And really, these collections started out as a way to showcase local talent. We have expanded that a little bit to include authors from the rest of Atlantic Canada, but we've actually got submissions coming in from the United States, from Australia, from, you know, Europe, all different kinds of places. Now, we obviously are going to give preference to the local authors, but that's just an indication of how far this is spreading.
Yeah, it's reaching. I've been seeing it on Duotrope and sites like that, where there are different paid works being advertised.
Yeah, so one of the things about the From the Rock series, originally it started way, way back in the day before we had the 10th anniversary revival for Sci-Fi on the Rock. It had started out as a way for the convention organizers to kind of show their stories. And that was kind of as a thank you to them. It wasn't a paid piece. And over the last couple of years, due to the overwhelming response to it, we've managed to transition our anthology into paid work.
That's excellent. In addition to the submissions for the From the Rock series, you also are very busy managing submissions for Engine Books in general. Is that correct?
Yes.
You're on the Engine Books board, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. What has that been like, handling the submissions in general, and how can people submit? What are you looking for right now in the terms of submissions?
Once upon a time, we were only getting a few submissions a month. So my job was fairly easy back then. It was, you know, screen what we have come in, if it could fit in the publishing schedule, if it was something that we really felt strongly about, then we would try and put it out. At this point, over 10 years on in the business, we are getting a lot more submissions. So it's increased the work on my plate, obviously. We're getting sometimes several submissions a day. It's a lot to go through. So, I mean, I'm still trying to get back to people as quick as possible. One of the things that we pride ourselves on is being able to get back to people in a very timely manner. We try and take a real grassroots approach with our authors where we have a lot of interaction with them. We believe one of the good things about being indie is that, you know, they have more control over what they're doing, more say about their publishing and their work. So we still want to take that same approach even as we grow. My job has become a lot trickier though, because I'm trying to balance that and still trying to balance all of the things coming in. And we get a lot of things come in that we might not necessarily be looking for at the time, but are actually quite good submissions. So we tend to be looking for things that are in genres that are underserviced. And by underserviced, I mean there are plenty of readers for the genre, but not many authors writing for that particular genre. So we want to try and bring more stories of that ilk forward. That said, we are also very into new things. So we've had authors approach us with upcoming genres, let's say.
What's an upcoming genre?
So we had an email a little while back with someone wondering about if we were publishing things that focused on seniors.
Okay.
And the kinds of issues that are facing seniors in this day and age.
Interesting. Okay.
Which admittedly you don't see very much of, but yeah. We are very interested in representing all kinds of different voices.
Yeah.
So obviously we encourage people with stories that they might not feel are super popular or super well represented to come forward.
Okay. Well, in addition to all that work that you're doing for Engine, you're also writing on your own, as well as we said in the opening crawl there, you're the secretary at Wannell. How are you finding the experience of working with Wannell?
I love it. One of the things that has always kind of governed my career is that I've really enjoyed interacting with the writing community. So early on, that meant doing a lot of different panels, talking to aspiring authors one-on-one, and I've been very lucky since joining the board to be able to do more volunteer work in that respect. Originally, I was trying to help find a voice for youth in the province, young writers. So I was originally a youth representative on the board. And in the past few months, I've stepped into the secretary position. So essentially what we do, we're looking for different ways to service the writing community, and not just in St. John's, but across all of Newfoundland and Labrador. So looking for different ways to bring writing workshops across the province, readings across the province, different ways to represent authors. And I've found that very rewarding so far.
We had Kelly Power in here. She's the vice president of Wannell at the
moment?
Yes. Yes. We had her in her here a few months ago. She was our first guest on the Write Project podcast. She's crazy.
I think all writers are a little crazier though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
I mean,
are.
It's what makes us tick.
Yeah, she was funny. We had some laughs on there. Most of them hers. She has a laugh that kind of bubbles up. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun. What are you working on writing wise right now?
Oh, I've got a couple different projects on my plate right now. I work on a series with you.
Yes, the Infinity series. You wrote a book on your own a few years ago, Compendium.
That was a book of short stories, yeah.
Yeah.
It's since been taken out of print and put into a different collection of stories.
Light Dark.
Light Dark.
Yep.
Yeah, that's based in the same universe as our Infinity series and as the Black Womb series and the Xander Drew series.
Cool.
So there's a bit of crossover there. There's a bit of world building. But I'm actually working on some different things as well that aren't in universe and are kind of more of an experiment. So
cool.
I'm kind of seeing where that's going. I love short stories, but I don't think this is going to be a short story. And it's really outside of my wheelhouse. Like, when I did Fantasy from the Rock a few years ago, that's my passion. That's where I really started my writing.
Fantasy?
Fantasy, yeah. My storytelling kind of came naturally to me from, I guess, the kind of Newfoundland folklore traditions, where it's kind of like the stories of the wee folk in the woods. those were the stories that were told to me when I was young, and they were the ones that kind of were trapped in my head and that I needed to get out. So I really, really enjoyed writing my story for Fantasy from the Rock, but the story that's come to me lately is really outside of that. It's more contemporary, and I'm not sure it's ever going to see the light of day, but it's been a fun exercise.
With your work as the submissions editor for Engine Book, you must kind of be privy to the next hot stuff that's about to come out. Like, you must get to read the great novels before they hit the light of day.
Yeah, it's really, really exciting and really rewarding. My Goodreads, like, reading list looks like it's not touched at all, but when those novels come out, I cannot wait to five-star them. And I know that sounds really biased, but I love the ones that we've got coming out.
So give us some examples of what we can expect in the future that's come through submissions.
We have some really dark things coming out, and we've got some really light, fun things coming up. This fall, we've got something we've never done before coming out. We've got a photography collection that we're pairing with short stories. It's the Kitsora autobiography.
Yes.
So
that's made up of the Kitsora challenges that's been going on bi-weekly for the last few months. That have been the talk of the town kind of thing.
Yeah, and I am blown away by A, her artwork, and B, the stories that we've been receiving for that. I've been lucky to judge a couple of the contests, and it's been great to see the wide variety of inspiration that people get from one picture. So around the same time that Kit's autobiography is coming out, we've also got After Dark Vapors by Brad Dunn coming out. And that is so exciting. It's poised to come out around Halloween, and it is on point. If you love dark, supernatural, it's going to be so much fun. We've got a great middle grade offering coming out from Michelle Churchill. If you like fairies and more high fantasy, this is, I think, the next big series. I'm really, really excited to see what we're able to do there for a book launch. I love doing the book launches, and this is, I think, going to be a fun one. And then aside from Michelle and Brad and Kit, we also have John Dobbin.
Yes, he was on a few weeks ago.
Yes, he was. And
he's a chipper individual.
I am bananas for his book.
Yeah.
It is...
It's about monkeys?
No. It's gritty. It's Western. It's got supernatural elements to it. And it will keep you hooked to the very end. John's book has all the feels of a classic Western, but it starts to weave in different elements of Native folklore and things that go bump in the night and the very basic fears that humans have.
That's cool.
It is very cool. And I don't think he realizes how good it is.
No, he doesn't. It's great.
Which I love in our authors, because it's that we can really like bring them out of their shell.
Yeah.
And really get them out there for the first time. And that's something I love so much. I love having people, when we're out doing conventions, having people behind their table that are so intelligent and so very able and willing to talk about their work, but who don't maybe realize how great it is yet, because then they get to have the fan interaction for the first time and hear their fans saying to them, this is the book that, you know, made me come back to reading.
Yeah, that's a big moment.
Yes.
That's a good moment.
Yeah, and I've been so lucky to be sitting at the table a couple of times and see that happening for authors, and it always gives me chills when that happens.
Yeah, it's a great moment when someone's like, this got me back into reading, or this got me back into, this affected me in some way.
Yeah, I love it, especially with the From the Rock collections. Whenever somebody comes back to the table for the next one, they're like, the reason I'm picking up this year's edition is because of X person's story in the last one. That was the story that really made the collection for me. I love hearing that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always great, especially when it's a returning author, because we always get, lately, the From the Rocks have become kind of a mini institution within Engine Books and the lit community around in general, or the genre community around in general. So there's some people that tend to return. No one's ever guaranteed a slot, but there's people that tend to return year after year that have learned what we look for. But we always try to get a certain percentage of brand new never before seen broken authors.
There really is no guarantee that people are going to be able to get a spot. And I think that that's a misconception a lot of people have when they come up to the table. They're like, so-and-so seems like, you know, they're going to write something for this and be in it this year. And I mean, for Fantasy from the Rock, your story wasn't even included.
That did happen.
You submitted and you got rejected.
That famously did not happen. Yeah.
That did happen.
Did happen. Yeah.
Did happen.
I mean, the story did not happen.
Yes.
Yeah. It's great when you're the publisher and you can't get published. It's a great reflection on your work.
Well, I think it shows that we have a lot of great work in the province that you're up against. And
yes.
If it's not necessarily your wheelhouse, then, you know, you've got 30 or 40 other people.
I am not a fantasy guy. It's true. I wrote a science fiction story and then put some fantasy words in it and said, this will do.
And that was frustrating to read. Just saying, don't do it again.
Well, no, this time I'm going to write a fantasy story and put some dystopia words in there.
There is nothing I hate more than when someone is trying to shoehorn a story into a particular genre. It is so frustrating and it's so obvious. Just write it as it comes naturally.
Yeah.
And you're going to be 10 times better off.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for your younger writing self? If you could go back in time and give your younger writing self any advice, what would it be?
Keep writing.
Okay. So why do you think your younger self would need that advice?
I think it's easy to give up on something when it's hard. And I have had a lot of times where I find writing hard. So I think telling myself that, yeah, there's good things around the corner if you just stick with it is important.
Excellent. Are you energized by writing or does it exhaust you? Like, do you start with a lot of energy and by the end you're dragged out? Or do you start like feeling dragged out and by the end you're energized and happy?
That's specific to what I'm writing. It's very dependent on the content. Some scenes are really hard to write, like if they're really emotional, if they deal with sensitive subject matter. But some things, you know, are exciting to write. Like if you're writing, you know, a fantasy thing about someone finding something for the first time, or if you're writing about people finding each other. It's different scenes and different situations I find are very different. I guess I tap into my character's emotions.
Do you read reviews of your book?
I do. Sometimes they can be really motivating and sometimes they can be really frustrating. I try to not let the bad stuff get to me because everyone has different opinions. And I'm also, you know, oftentimes writing with a partner. But it's a mixed bag.
What's your favorite unknown book? Like a book that you think that you like but that to you no one else even really knows about in your opinion. Doesn't have to be true.
This is going to be a weird one. But okay. I recently picked up a bunch of children's books and one of them was a Neil Gaiman one called Cinnamon. And I really...
Synonym?
Cinnamon.
Synonym.
No, Cinnamon. And it's, par for the course, Neil Gaiman, it's dark for a children's book. And I really enjoy it. Because
he does like ruining childhoods.
I wouldn't say that. I would say it's an appropriate level that doesn't pander to young people.
Cool. What's your favorite book from childhood? Or the first book that got you interested in reading?
That one's hard because I did a lot of reading, even at a very, very young age.
I hear that you hated Lord of the Rings from a very young age.
No, I read Lord of the Rings when I was in grade 2.
That's a bit much. That's extra.
It might be, but I really loved it. I've read it lots and lots of times, same with
Harry
Potter.
Would you say you have to be in grade 2 to enjoy Lord of the Rings?
No, I wouldn't. I would say it's something I've come back to many times over the years. But other books from childhood, I'm really, really passionate about children's books. Maybe to a weird extent. I love children's books so much. So I had one that was my favorite that was Blue Balloon. And it's just the story of a little boy with a blue balloon that keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And he just ends on this like magical adventure floating off in this blue balloon. And
that
I think that's
horrible. This is like a horror novel.
Magical.
That sounds
I
like
also
a horror novel.
Love Jan Brett. She's an amazing author and all of her books.
I would
just
hope she's an author. If not, that's inappropriate to say.
I mean, it's fantastic. Her books always have like this little Norse element to them, and it mixes mythology with nature and folklore, and I love that. I also really loved the balloon tree growing up.
The balloon tree?
The balloon tree.
Did you have a thing for balloons?
I mean, don't all kids really like balloons? But no, this story is about a little princess, and her father has to leave the kingdom and leaves her with her uncle. And her uncle is not a nice guy, spoiler alert. And he, you know, is trying to take over the kingdom and generally ruin things. And she has this awesome tree that grows balloons and fills her kingdom with happiness, basically. And that's always, that whimsical element to it has always really made me very happy.
I mean, I'd like to see that story from another point of view. Like imagine like the same tale written from the point of view of a little boy in the kingdom who has a latex allergy and, you know, hates the girl who makes...
Nobody said these were latex balloons.
Okay.
These could be hypoallergenic magical balloons. That's fair. You don't know.
That's fair.
You don't know. They were very bright and colorful, though.
Okay.
The guards trying to pop them should back off.
Okay. What's up with the balloons? Like, why do balloons make people happy?
I mean... That seems like contained air. That seems like a question you should discuss with a therapist, not with me.
Okay.
I'm content with just being happy, but if you want to delve into that and not pick that apart, that's a you problem.
It's an air prison.
Or is it a time capsule for a moment of happiness that you've preserved?
It's an air prison. It's a prison for air.
I think... it's a moment of happiness concealed in colorful joy.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree.
I mean, will we?
No. What is the first book that made you cry?
Oh, gosh. I'm a crier, so, I mean, we could go back, like, a long way.
Yeah, I went back to Grover's first day at school. That still tears me up.
Oh, man. Harry Potter, I think there was always one moment in every book in the series that made me cry. Gosh.
When Harry wakes up after the last book and it was all a dream and he's still under the stairs?
That's not a thing.
That's my headcanon.
You're going to back off? No, Sirius dying really got to me.
Spoilers!
I mean, it's been a long time.
I guess.
That one really sticks out to me.
To you, what's the hardest part of the creative process?
Trusting myself and not judging myself. I edit as I go a lot, and that can be really good for making sure my thoughts are concise when they end up on paper, but it takes them a long time to get there. So that
I've advised against it in the past, but that's come up a lot, the editing as you go, and it's
a hard thing to break.
Yeah.
And so if there was one thing I could change, it would probably be that. But I struggle with getting through my writing. I don't find writing as an easy process in general.
A lot of people, or some blogs I've been following, have started to refer to your first draft, not even as draft one, but of draft zero. Like, where nobody's supposed to ever look at it, and it's just to get it out. Like, get the whole thing from start to finish out. And then, after a little while, when you go back and look at it, that's actually what draft one is. So it takes the pressure off, like, it to be a good first draft. Like, it doesn't have to be good at all. It just has to be done.
I mean, maybe. Yeah, that could be an option I could look at in the future, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm open to trying different things at this point.
Cool.
Anything to make life easier.
Okay. Have you tried writing on your head? Like, standing on your head and writing?
That wouldn't make it easier.
Have you tried it, though?
I have terrible balance.
Okay.
I don't think that would work for me. Just putting that out there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have you tried writing in a plane?
Yes.
Okay.
I have.
It's expensive.
Yeah. I mean, depending on where you're flying to.
I mean, if you just needed to get your work in every day, so you took a small flight to Gander and back, that could get expensive.
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that.
No. Have you Googled yourself?
Not in a long time. I do have a Google alert set up on myself from like a long, long time ago, but I just tend to not look at it before I delete the email. But a couple of times I've gotten some funny emails where it's like, Ellen Curtis is like a person who does space travel and is commenting in this press interview. And
it's a common name.
It's not.
It's...
So that's what's interesting to me.
There's a few of you out there.
I mean, not many, though. Which is, I mean, Ellen is not that common a name.
Are you insane?
It's really not.
Ellen's a very common
name.
No,
it's not.
Okay.
I mean, you should look at the numbers. It's not Matthew level common.
Oh, no, nothing's Matthew level common.
Like, I don't think my name has ever been in the top 100.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I will look that up, actually. That'd be interesting.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on again. For all of you, we'll be here again next week at 4:30 Newfoundland time or online at chmr.ca. Please tune in and we'll talk more about writing culture in Newfoundland.